The Indian Mojo Show!
Welcome, tactical, practical, and fantastical gamers, to a booming episode 5-7 of the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show. As always, well, almost always, myself, Jeremy Brown, Daniel Jones, and Jack Gardner are here to soothe your souls with that old-time rock and roll. So sit back, relax, and put on your seatbelts as we bring you the best in gaming news, talk, and everything else right now.
You know, the first concert I ever went to was a Bob Seger concert.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. My dad's a big Seger fan.
And have you turned the page since then and went to any more concerts?
I've turned the page from Bob Seger to other things, yes.
That's some risky business. That's pretty cool. The first concert I ever went to was Bon Jovi, and I'm sure I told you guys this, and I got peed on.
What?
Nope. I've never told that one before.
I was decent age, and my mom sent me with, like, these guys that were 18 or 19, probably 18 and 19. They seemed pretty cool. They always hung out at the store she worked at. And when you're 12, you don't really realize quite everything. And we got there, and you just got down on the floor to watch, and I couldn't see very well. So one of the guys, he had his girlfriend with him, and, like, he was actually holding me on the shoulders for a while so I could see. And then he put me down and put her up, and, like, she ripped off her shirt immediately. It was just insane. Anyway, I bought this concert tour shirt before we went in, and I put it on over the clothes I was wearing, and it was way too big for me. It, like, hung down to my knees. And it was a Bon Jovi. It said, "Kiss them where it stinks, New Jersey." That was the name of their tour. So the two guys I was with, it was obvious they were drinking. And one of them, his name was Albert. I'll never forget it. He was wasted, just, like, completely wasted. Pretty soon, I, like, feel something kind of warm, and I look down and put my hand on my shirt, and the whole bottom right-hand side of my shirt is, like, soaked. And I'm like, oh, this is weird. So the other guy, his name was Tom, if I remember right. I'm like, what is this? And he, like, then the other guy just started cracking up, and then he said, oh, man, I had to pee, so I just whipped it out. And so he pissed right there, but he was so close to me that a bunch of it got on my shirt.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, it sucked.
And yep. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. My first concert experience, I went to go see B.B. King.
Nice.
The jazz guy.
That's pretty.
It was perfectly fine. It was in a tent outside. And nothing eventful happened except listening to good music.
As it should. Nice. Well, that's
all right. Well,
start the show.
That's not to say that I haven't had my share of wild concert experiences, but my first one was perfectly fine.
Oh, well, you got to share a wild concert experience now.
Yeah, I can't imagine a wild experience for you, Jack.
Well, I went to there's this band called
Dominoes or something.
There's this band called Broken Bells. And they came on tour to Minneapolis, and I went to go see them with a friend of mine.
In your mouse.
Yeah. And,
wait, your friends was your mouse?
No, but they came. Broken Bells came here. And, a friend of mine and I went to go see Broken Bells at the First Avenue Club in Minneapolis. We're in the front row of the concert, and it was going really great, and I kept feeling like this hand, like touching and, like, rubbing my shoulder, and I was like, that's weird, and I'd look over, and, like, no one would be touching me. I was like, okay, that's weird. And, you know, we're having a great time, and this hand, again, I feel it on my shoulder. I look over, and this time I see, there's this, you know, lady probably in her 30s or so, and I was wearing a hat, and she was playing with the hat has like a one of those poofy balls on top. And she was playing with the poofy ball on the back of my hat, and she knocked it off. I was like, "What, lady? What's up?" And she offered to do, shall we say, indiscreet things in the bathroom.
Just right there.
She was obviously wasted, and I was like, "No, I'm at a concert with my friend. We're in the front row. I'm here to see Broken Bells."
That's awesome. I don't know that.
And then she stole my hat.
Solicited quite. Wow. That's a new one.
I got the hat back, but she stole my hat. I wasn't very happy about that.
Jack, if you played your cards right, she could have stole your heart too. In fact, it sounds like she was giving you the winning hand, and you just decided to fold anyway.
See, this is what we need, Jack. We need to hear more stories like that, right? But they're supposed to end up with you waking up in a strange room the next morning, and a bra like sprawled across your face. All right.
I'm just saying. I think I had more fun with the Broken Bells than I would have had in.
I don't know.
Yeah, to each their own. Whatever.
Yep.
So, did you happen to play games at any of these concerts?
No.
Was this before, like, mobile gaming really took off?
Oh, yeah.
Who are you talking to?
I suppose people probably do play games at concerts now. I was trying to kind of...
People could.
But...
People could play... I play Temple Run 2 pretty much anywhere I can now.
Yeah, I know you're hooked on that game.
I sure am.
So, have you racked up a big bill with buying extra lives for yourself?
No, I haven't done any of it.
When I played Jetpack Joyride, I ended up spending like $30 on those stupid things.
It bothers me because I found out that you can max out your score. The highest score is 50 million, and I've gotten to about 4.5 million. And if I bought just a bunch more lives, I could probably get up to that 50 million. It would just cost me a lot of money, but I could do it.
Yeah, well, save your money.
What happens when you hit 50 million?
I don't know. Maybe it's like Donkey Kong and the game just crashes.
You just a big old long list of other fools that paid to get there?
Yeah, I looked at the stats. And there's a whole bunch of people on the top of the leaderboard. I am in the top 5% in the world, though. So,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever that means.
But doesn't it kind of undermine the point of having a leaderboard if you have a score cap?
Yeah, kind of does. And if people can just pay their way to get there, it kind of does, yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I don't know if any of those people... did it legitimately, or if they paid to do it, you know?
I kind of have a hard time believing anybody got there with just the normal amount of lives.
I do, too. It would take a lot of grinding. That's basically what I'm doing now, is just grinding to get tons of tokens so I can save up and have the lives without having to pay for them. Yep. Well,
good luck with that.
Yeah, it's productive. I'm really getting a lot done.
So, I didn't get a chance last week because I wasn't there, but you fellas both have YouTube projects going. Jack, I apologize, I haven't been able to watch yours because I still don't have my real internet hooked back up. And,
okay.
And they're really long, so it would cost me a fortune on my phone.
Yep.
Daniel, I've watched yours, and I gotta say I'm impressed.
All right.
But
that's a ringing endorsement.
You'd mentioned that you tried to do a couple of recordings with you and Cody in the same frame.
Yep.
You could always record his parts and then just move the mouth and dub them over it so it doesn't look like your lips are moving. Same.
I suppose. I don't know how to do that with Windows Movie Maker.
Okay. Well, I'm sure
yeah, if you it's edit, not that easy.
If you can edit a podcast, I'm sure you can do that.
I'm sure. But yeah, it's fun. I'm enjoying doing it. I think, I don't know, I said he was going to do Temple Run 2 last week, but that didn't happen. He might do either that or Assassin's Creed 3. I know, I lied. I changed it because I thought Dead Space 3 was funnier. I got to stop talking about boobs in it, though, because that joke's going to get old quick.
I like that Cody's a 12-year-old kid, and I think you pull that off pretty well, Daniel.
Probably, no, thanks.
Probably because you've been a 12-year-old kid for 15 years. But
true.
The boob jokes could get old, but that doesn't mean you can't slip into some other immature thing. And the Black Ops references are awesome.
Yeah. Well, what I really Ops. Liked was how some people took it seriously. And
who took that seriously?
Well,
it's a puppet. How do you take a puppet seriously?
I don't know. Some people take it seriously, and it's rated 2 stars right now, the blog. So, for whatever reason, and it has a dislike on YouTube. So either I pissed people off and they just don't like me, or they don't get it.
It might be people don't get it, I suppose, but 2 stars, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I bet you that's just because not very many people rated it on Game Informer. Probably had one person do like 5 and one person do 1.
That's true.
Maybe you have a hater in the house that you're not aware of.
I could.
Maybe it's Jack. Maybe he's jealous.
I'm just trying to undermine you, Daniel. Also, I took that puppet way too seriously.
Puppet about Black Ops 2 being his favorite gift, except for when Black Ops 1 was his favorite, and dinosaur boobies, and people are taking it serious.
Yep.
Yeah,
true. That's all right. But you know what I've been taking dead serious? Jack's Digibros videos, because they're playing Dead Souls, so that's dead serious. And oh my god, I would hate that game.
That game is awesome.
I would absolutely hate that game. Just watching you guys play it, it's so tedious. You spent a whole episode in the same area fighting the same skeletons over and over. It was killing me.
Well, the thing is, it's interesting watching them.
You've only killed the third boss and you're in that area.
What?
You've only killed the third boss and that's the area you're in? Is the skeletons?
So, what we've done so far, only 2 episodes are on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And so the second episode takes place right after getting to Lordran, after killing the Asylum Demon.
Okay.
So, in the second episode, we didn't really know where to go, and so we just assumed that through the ruins that are right in front of you is where you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
And we ended up fighting skeletons for a really long time. And we got really upset and frustrated. What we didn't realize is that there's other paths that you can take. And we discovered that right at the beginning of episode 3. So.
I know you don't want any tips, so I'm not going to give you any. But.
Well, people have been giving tips. And, like, they're helpful, sort of. But what people don't seem to realize is that we're, like, 7 episodes, so right. 7 hours further into the game than where we are in the videos that are posted on YouTube. So the tips aren't really that helpful because we've learned all that the hard way.
Now, are you guys both playing at the same time? Like
we're kind of taking turns.
So you're just using one character, though?
Right.
Are you playing online so other people can come and help you or kill you?
It's kind of been on and off, just because sometimes we have an Ethernet cable and sometimes we don't.
We have like a traveling Ethernet cable in your neighborhood where people share it.
Well, my friend Corey lives in like a different part of town than I do, and so things are kind of always moved around whenever I go over and we play and record.
I hated it when people would invade my world, good or bad. Just really bothered me. Until I fell towards the end, then I loved it.
I think it happens in somewhere in episode 4 that happens. We figure out that you can summon people to help you, yeah. And we do that, and then somebody immediately invades and kills the person we summoned.
There are a few, even if you're talking offline, there are a few people, there are, I think, 7 maybe, instances where you'll be invaded no matter what, even if you're offline. But people are generally not as tough as the people that invade you from real people, because it's crazy, and it's the one thing that I like about that way that game is done is that to be able to play with somebody, they have to be within 10, maybe 12 levels one way or the other. So if you're level 24, they can be 12 or 36, right? But to invade somebody, you can be level 170 and invade a level 5 person. That's crazy.
One thing I just found out because somebody told me is that it generally takes between, like, 40 and 100 hours to complete the first playthrough.
Wow.
I don't think it'll be that long for us because I feel like we're making really good progress. We, like, in the last episode we did, we killed a boss and we killed... I think we killed another boss, actually. So... We made good progress in the course of an hour. So I think it's safe to say it won't take as long as some people might think. I mean, after some people have seen the second episode, I can understand why they'd think that it would take us a really, really, really long time to beat Dark Souls, but...
It's kind of the way everybody is, though. It's got a steep learning curve, and it takes you a while to learn to be patient and not get yourself killed every time you turn around. I think I had between 2 playthroughs, actually 2, I think you have to play through 2.5 times to get the platinum trophy, and I think I had like 190 hours doing that. But remember, I'm one of those people that literally does every single thing and goes every single place looking for stuff.
Yeah. But, there's some surprises in store. It's going to be fun.
So.
Awesome. Keep watching. We get better, I promise.
No, I mean, you guys are fine. It's just, it's helped me realize that I would not want to play that game, so this is good because I can see it without having to play it.
That works.
Yep.
You're welcome.
So what have you been playing besides Temple Run?
Besides Temple Run, I've also been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed 3. That game is fun. It's fun. I'm not a huge Assassin's Creed fan, but I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's just something about it that I don't love. It's
or just the whole.
Say that again.
Are you talking about the third one or the whole series?
Assassin's Creed 3 specifically. It just doesn't. I don't know, it has this huge open world, and I'm coming off of Far Cry 3, which is possibly one of my favorite open world games of all time. I absolutely love that game. So, that game gave you incentive to do everything. There was a lot of incentive for going and doing the radio towers. There was a lot of incentive because it would just open up new things. And the new things that you could do once you opened up those radio towers were worth doing. Nothing else in Assassin's Creed 3 outside of the main story quest, in my opinion, is really worth doing. So just for me, I'm not normal. I know.
I kind of feel the same way in that game. I have put, before I went on my hiatus, I put a fair amount of hours into that game. And being the type of person that didn't even mind collecting the flags in the first one, and actually enjoyed the collecting and side missions in the second one, I feel very similar about the third one that you've mentioned. So,
yeah, I mean, there's this gorgeous world. It's beautiful. Like, I mean, the way that they recreated, you know, colonial New England is amazing. But they just don't do a lot with it. There's just not a ton. There's not a ton to really do. I fast travel through the frontier like every time I need to. And I'd rather, like in other games, I mean, in Red Dead Redemption and Far Cry 3, I would never fast travel. I would always just go through and get into any trouble that would come my way. But in this, I have no incentive to go hunting or to do anything. There's no incentive for me to do anything outside of the main quest, which is fun. I like the main quest, but other than that, I just don't get why it's even open world. Really.
Have you played it, Jack?
No, I haven't.
I think that
I'm not a huge fan of the Assassin's Creed series.
I think that the combat just feels too much like the last two, and having to do that other than getting through the main quest is just tedious. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a cool story. I do like the theme, and I do like the backdrop, and I think that it's cool seeing that new scenery in the wilderness and, you know, in the New England states. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I'm very interested in the story and the setting. So I'm enjoying it. It's just, you know, not my favorite.
So any sneak peeks or clues at what Cody's going to play next?
Probably that.
Okay.
Assassin's Creed.
I think you should play The Walking Dead at some point as well.
I think so too. That's a good idea. I'm just waiting for a lull in my like gaming where I have something that probably next week, maybe next week he'll take on The Walking Dead.
Okay.
All right.
By the way, a big shout out to Craig Leg for naming The Walking Dead his game of the year. I think that's awesome.
Hooray!
Yeah.
Yeah. So
unlike those sellouts at Indian Mojo.
Yeah, we all caved and named Mass Effect 3 just because we knew that it was probably a better game. You can't go wrong with either one. I was surprised that was number 5 on his list, though.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Not too surprising.
But overall, a great list that he made.
So what have you been playing, Jeremy?
Yeah, you played a game.
You broke your silence?
I did.
Video games?
Answered 60 messages on PSN. Oh, I, before we talk about Journey, I want to tell you guys that... So last night, I'm like, I haven't been able to sleep for the last few days. And so I was moving all around, like, everywhere last night. Like, I even laid on the living room floor for a while to try to fall asleep. Yeah, I know, I'm weird. But... Like, in the middle of the night, like at 3 a.m., I get my phone dings, and I look at it, and it's from PSN, or Sony Entertainment Network. And it said that funds had been added to my wallet. There was a $20 credit added to my wallet. I thought that was really strange, and I thought, oh, I must have qualified for some promo, because that's happened, actually, in the past. And so I didn't think much of it, and I already had... a little over $40 in my wallet, like, I want to say 41 and some change. So, yeah, because then it told me my new total was like 61 something or another. So about 5 minutes later, I get like 4 messages in a row thanking me for buying all these games. And it wasn't me.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, oh, shoot. So I immediately jump up and run to my computer and go to change my password. And nobody had changed my password or changed my email address. But it was really weird. So I sent him an email and haven't heard back from him. But now I have. They bought Little Big Planet. They were all Vita games. So it makes me wonder if... Oh, I know what happened. I know exactly. I sold my Vita. And I never...
Oh,
just dawned on me what happened.
You sold your Vita?
I had to.
You gave up that quickly, huh?
I was in a rough financial spot for a few weeks.
Right.
I actually sold a lot of my statues too. But I don't want
not the Skyrim statue though, right?
No, that's not even a statue. It's a piece of plastic. But anyway. No, a lot of my Zelda statues, I only have a couple now. I'm super sad face about it, but
oh.
Had to have the money. Anyway, I think I shipped it to like Pennsylvania or somewhere. So, and I can't believe I didn't wipe it, you know, reset it before I sent it.
Right.
It just now dawned on me. That's exactly what happened.
You better get on that.
I don't know what I can do. I mean, I've now changed my password, so he shouldn't be able to log into that account. But why would somebody do that? Unless they just don't know what they're doing.
Well, Jeremy, funny story. Taryn's
Taryn bought a Vita online off Amazon.
No, she bought her nephew a Kindle for Christmas, and she put her card under on his Amazon account because apparently you have to have a debit card attached. So it's under his account. He has an account, but it's her card. So one day this weekend, he just decided to start buying a whole crap load of games on his Kindle. Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm just listening intently.
So yeah, so we counted it all up. It was $200 worth of 99-cent charges and $2 what? Charges and all these different things on his Kindle. Yeah, kid was busy.
Wow. Where did he think all that money was coming from?
He claims to not have realized that they were charging it and that it was costing him any money.
Well, if it was on the one-click settings, it doesn't. You don't know
which it is,
and that's probably why. So, you know, I'm not defending him because you do.
No,
but
I mean, I don't. I mean, he's not blameless, but I do think that it was. It's so easy to not even realize that it's charging you.
Yeah, I've bought crap on Amazon because the one click was turned on, so I always have it turned off now.
Yeah. Well, it turns out one of it was he was playing a lot of Temple Run, so I think he was buying lives a lot of times.
He's trying to knock you off the top of the user board.
Yeah, right? The heck? Yeah, so that was pretty funny. I mean... Funny for me, not so funny for her, but.
So I feel bad because that person that bought those games isn't going to be able to get them. But then again, I only have $6 worth of wallet money, so he spent 34 of my dollars, so you know what? Screw him.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, he
probably used his card and saw $61 after only putting 20 in, yay!
Well, I'm sure that since you emailed Sony, I'm sure they'll get it all sorted out.
Oh, no, Jack, they won't. In fact, that's my segue to my next talking point. I finally started playing Journey, the game that I paid for 3 times.
Right.
That Sony refused to refund my money on.
Wait, why did they refused?
Yeah.
Why?
They have a zero tolerance policy for downloadable stuff. Zero. They will not refund a dime for anything.
That's what they. Okay.
It doesn't matter. It just whatever fluke it was, it just charged my card 3 times, and they said that I purchased it 3 times, which, like, it wouldn't really ever go through. So, yes, I did end up clicking 3 times for it to happen, but whatever.
Does that mean you can give away 2 of your copies?
No, it doesn't. That means I have a $5 copy of Journey. But as it turns out, well, it's worth it.
Exactly.
So far, anyway.
Yeah. So where, first of all, you're playing it wrong, because you're supposed to play through in one sitting. Second of all, where are you in it? How far are you?
Okay, well, the Constitution gives me the right to play through it in any way I want, Daniel. I don't know if they're called levels in this game, but the first level's pretty easy when you first get your scarf, right? And you go across that big long gap, although I spent a lot of time in it exploring, so I got through that. And the second one...
There's a lot in that area. There's a trophy waiting in that area, too, you know.
A trophy?
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
There's a little secret that you can find in that area that will give you a trophy if you explore.
I will eventually find it. I thought I explored pretty dang well. Can you explore it from the beginning that way, or do you have to be leveled up to be able to do it?
No, you can explore from the beginning.
Okay. I kind of got the sense that I would be able to fly further and jump higher as the game progressed, but...
Well, yeah, you will.
So, I thought that would make it easier to go back and explore. I don't know. So, I got, you know, those little things that are just kind of hanging out in different areas when you go to them, it makes your scarf grow longer.
Yep.
I'm not completely through with the third level. I hope it saves. But
it does.
I think I have 6 of those. I have at least 6 of those. I found at least 6 of those things.
So have you gotten to the part where you go skiing down the hill?
That happens all the time.
Well, yeah, you do live in Montana.
Right. No, you mean like the whole level where you do that?
Yeah, well, there's a whole section where that's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's fun.
You're kind of sliding down the hill.
I don't think I've been there, but I like running to the top of the hill and sliding down. That might be where I'm at right now, because the level I'm on is pretty vast and wide, and it's really hilly and steep, and, like, you have to look really close because the buildings and whatnot, you know, the ruins, I guess, are in these narrow valleys and crevices that you can miss them if you don't look really easy or really closely.
Yep.
So that's where I'm at.
So you like it?
I do, and I think I actually played with one person. It was right at the end of the first level. Starting the second level, there was another journeyman? What are those people called?
There. Sure.
And I followed him around for a little bit, but then I just kind of went my own way.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. You don't have to hang out with them if you don't want to. But you can.
But yeah, I probably will finish it tomorrow, hopefully. And it's a pretty awesome game. So.
Cool. Jack, what are your thoughts on Journey? Have you played it? Do you like it?
I haven't played it yet.
All right. Why not?
So, what?
Why not?
Because I just haven't gotten around to it yet. I still have so many great games to go through. We talked about this last time.
All right. Well, now that Jeremy's playing it, you know I'm going to be bugging you about it now, so...
Well, it just wouldn't be the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show if somebody wasn't bugging somebody to play something.
Speaking of which, the new logo quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently we have a rough draft version, but whatever, it still looks good.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the rough draft, I can't wait to see the final draft.
I agree.
It's good work. Thanks, Turd Fergie.
Indeed. Thank you, Kyle. But that's the only game I've played this week.
Cool.
Other than that, I just been sick all week. So, and last week. And the week before.
That sounds awesome, Jeremy.
It's been great. But it'll soon, it has to.
What else were we going to talk about? I can't remember.
I was going to talk about why what I was going to talk about or we were going to talk about?
I wanted to talk about Dragon's Dogma.
Jack still needs to talk about what he's been playing.
Oh, yeah, Jack, you've been playing stuff. What have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Dragon's Dogma and Orcs Must Die 2. And I must say, I'm very impressed with both of those games. More so with Dragon's Dogma, because I had very low expectations going in. And now that I'm in there, Dragon's Dogma is awesome. It's like if you could play Skyrim in third person, legitimately in third person. And if it was more action-packed and you could climb things.
What kind of character are you using?
Just to kind of, you know what, I actually made a female character.
Yay!
I almost never do that, but I felt like this would be a good game to have a female protagonist. I don't know why.
Because you want some companionship. You need to get to the bars, I'm telling you.
So, it's been awesome. You start out, there's an awesome opening scene where a dragon comes and eats your character's heart and flies off, and then you're off on a quest to kill the dragon. It's really kind of simple and straightforward.
That's how I start my week.
A dragon comes and eats your heart?
Yeah.
Okay. And you quickly learn that in order to kill really large monsters, you have to climb them, kind of like Shadow of the Colossus. You need to have the right party composition with these creatures called pawns that are kind of human but kind of not. And when people were talking about the game, they were talking about pawns that help you in combat, AI companions. I was thinking that was like the market speak for the game. Like pawns was just kind of this term for the AI companions. Well, they're in the game. They're an actual like different race of creatures that just look like people for whatever reason.
And they don't have to be AI. You can actually use other people. Well, I guess they would still be AI, but you can
make
pawns and other people can use them in their game.
Right, and so my character goes off into other people's games, or my pawn goes off into other people's games and comes back with stuff. I think that's really neat. I like that concept. It's kind of like Dark Souls, if Dark Souls was a little bit more friendly. And you know, surprisingly, the pawns, with their kind of chatter, I guess, as you walk around, they're actually kind of useful, and I get attached to these different characters that I bring in from other people's games, and I enjoy having them around. And it's just really fun and rewarding, and so far it hasn't gotten old to climb on top of monsters and stab them to death.
It never will.
Or watch as like my pawn companions just summon meteors from the sky to kill goblins or whatever. It's really fun. And it's one of the few games that I've played recently with a silent protagonist where I feel like, you know what? This silent protagonist works in this game. Just because it's like a Zelda game, kind of. If Zelda were more Skyrim-y.
Alright. That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Do either of you know how many copies that game sold off the top of your heads?
No.
More than Epic Mickey 2.
I sold more games this week than Epic Mickey 2.
Well, obviously it was enough to get an expansion to the game.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there'll be a sequel.
I hope so. I wish more games were kind of like Dragon's Dogma. And it's, frankly, the graphics are just beautiful. I like looking at things in that game.
Really?
Which is good.
Because the screenshots look really ugly for whatever reason.
Yeah, when I played the demo, I wasn't impressed with the graphics at all.
Really?
Are you playing it on PC?
Oh, I'm playing it on Xbox 360. I mean, there's some times where I'm like, okay, that shadow looks pretty bad. But, I don't know, for the most part it's bright and, you know, the lighting is good. I don't know, I think it looks nice. And the whole shift from day to night with the lights in the distance and the monsters. I don't know, I think it looks good.
Well, yeah, I already played the demo, so you can't really go off that as far as
quality.
Plus, I played on PS3, and that wouldn't be the first time that that game's gotten a crappier graphical version than other consoles.
No. Well, that's cool. Yeah. And what else are you playing?
Orcs Must Die 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I got on during the Steam sale around Christmas time, and just haven't gotten around to playing until now, because one of my friends was pestering me to play with him. So I finally did, and it's really fun to play co-op. Like, ridiculously fun. It's just a tower defense, but in third person. And it's great. Right.
So, who had to die first?
What?
Who had to die first before the orcs?
All the orcs.
So all the orcs died, then all the orcs died again?
I guess so. I mean, I think that was the premise of Orcs Must Die 1.
Oh, the number 2! Oh, okay.
If Orcs Must Die also, it's Orcs Constant. Must Die 2.
Gotcha. Now that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, you run around on a map and you place traps and obstacles for the orcs that are trying to get from these magical portals to... they're coming from the magical portals to get through to the normal world, I think. I'm not exactly sure. But you place traps, and you can shoot different kinds of weapons, and you upgrade the traps or your weapons and your special abilities and stuff. And it's really fun and addictive, and you try and get high scores. So,
how long do you think you've been playing it?
I'm trying to limit myself, so I've probably played about 5 or 6 hours.
See, I like tower defense games, but I get over them really quickly. Like, when I first play them, I'll play them, like, crazy, and then I kind of lose interest.
Yeah.
Did you ever play Kingdom Rush?
I don't think I played that one, but I played, like, Pixel Junk Monsters and Assassin's Creed... Revelations.
Kingdom Rush is a good one.
Well, I
few of them, they escaped my mind, but I...
Well, Orcs Must Die 2 is a little bit different than like a normal tower defense game, because you're actually running around the map and then fighting the orcs at the same time. So you're doing more than just placing your towers and then watching the minions just kind of march through your traps. You're like actively fighting them too.
So it's like Valkyria Chronicles is to strategy games, as is Orcs Must Die 2 is to tower defense games.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a good analogy, metaphor, whatever.
What are those things called?
Simile. I don't know.
Simile, that's right, simile.
I have no idea. I purged the English knowledge from my brain as soon as I graduated.
Graduated with a degree in English, I might add.
That's true. And medieval history. Let's not forget that one.
Ah.
How's the job search going?
I applied at a bookstore and a GameStop. And the bookstore chain, Barnes & Noble, that I applied at is currently closing lots of its retail locations. Yeah. And the GameStop that I applied at also closed its location. There's another one nearby, but...
I think we're going to actually start seeing that. I mean, it wouldn't be rocket science to figure that out, but I do think we'll see downsizing of GameStops that have multiple locations in one area.
I mean, it would make sense.
I'm sure there's two in Great Falls, and I'm positive one of those will be closing sooner rather than later. And they're not even that far apart. Like, you can get from one to the other one in less than 10 minutes.
Wait, yeah, the one that's closing near mine, near where I live, one's in a mall, and that's the one that's closing, and then there's another one, like, two blocks away. That's the one that's staying open. I never understood why they had them so close. That didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all. And are there only two in the Minneapolis area?
Oh, no, there are others. It's just in the city where I live right now, Eden Prairie.
Oh.
There are two.
Gotcha. In Minnesota, Jack, it's like 30 below here tonight.
It's actually pretty warm here today. Snow is melting. It was in the 40s, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been warm here. Nice.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
So,
but we didn't come here to talk about the weather.
No, we didn't. We can cut that out.
Just trying to be friendly. Jeez.
We didn't come here to make friends. We came here to talk about games.
That's good stuff. So, speaking of games, it turns out that gamers apparently don't know anything and have no credibility when it comes to discussing games. I never realized that.
Oh, did you also hear that video game developers are like electronic child molesters?
No, I hadn't heard that one, but I've always...
Oh, yeah.
Always suspected it, I gotta tell you. Have you seen the mustache Ken Levine has? I mean, come on.
yeah, so that's what we are, apparently. And it's crazy. It's to the point now where... This argument is really creating a rift between my parents and myself because they fervently believe it, that gamers are evil and violent, terrible people.
The tragedy in their home, the state they live in, and, you know, people blaming everything but the person that should be blamed, in my opinion. I won't rant, I promise. It's good to discuss. I think it's a healthy discussion to have, but you have to be open-minded, and sometimes I think people that are just completely against anything, like games, aren't going to come around to our way of thinking.
Well, this is something I've just been thinking of a lot, but it's hard to explain video games to people who don't play video games or who refuse to play video games because, right. like at the press conference where they showed several violent video games, they're like 1 minute clips of video games, right? Well, if you take a 1 minute clip of anything, like a movie, depending on where you take that clip from, that's how people who haven't seen that movie or who don't watch movies ever, that's how they're going to perceive movies. Like,
say you took a clip from the movie Noobs, people are probably going to think that movie sucks really bad, when in reality, it's fabulous.
Or if you took that scene from the end of Star Wars Episode 3 where, spoiler, Anakin Skywalker falls into a lava pit and gets all of his limbs chopped off. You know, if you take that scene and show it to
a lava pit.
No. That's you're thinking of Transformers.
Oh, yeah. That's the one with Sarah Connor, right?
Yeah, in the time traveling DeLorean.
Yes.
Right.
But if you show him that clip, and that's the only experience of, like, with the Star Wars film that people have ever had, and they see the clip, and they're being told, this is what movies are like, or this is what all Star Wars movies are like. They're gonna say, oh, well, obviously Star Wars films are evil, because that one clip, that 1 minute clip must be indicative of all the Star Wars movies.
Well, that's the thing. Clearly. Anybody pushing an agenda, they know how to do it.
Right.
Just, you know, the people that are pro-gun, they know how to, especially the people that are paid to do this, they know how to spin things, for example, deflect from them onto gamers. They know how to put together clips of, or montages of people doing wonderful, great things with guns. And the same thing on the other side. And the same, it's, no matter what they're, I don't know, I guess I just wish that people would stop doing that so we can actually get facts on gaming or whatever, even things like immigration and whatnot.
I think the question becomes like, what can people who enjoy playing video games do to fight against this stigma that we seem to be stuck with, however unfairly, because people who play video games are often very well-rounded individuals with real lives outside of that one aspect of media that they enjoy. And what can people do?
Well, I think the good news is for gamers that if we continue to, most of us act professional for the most part, and help to educate people that don't know, because there are a lot of people. There are people that are staunchly, you know, that truly believe that gaming can make somebody do something bad, but there's a lot of people that don't know, that are in the middle of the road, with just like any other issue. And if you can get to those people and try to explain to them, hey, this isn't quite what, you know, Fox News makes it out to see to be, or any other news outlet for that matter. It's disturbed individuals that maybe happen to play games, but it's not the games. And I think that because gaming is still fairly young, I do think that the hardest part is right now. I think that in the future it'll get a lot easier because, well, let's face it, everybody's getting older, and the people that don't understand them will be out of power.
Right, and that's just what I was going to ask. Do you think that most of the people who are against video games are older, I'll just say it, old vocal people in positions of authority at the moment?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, I mean, one valid way of just dealing with this is just to say, bide our time. just wait, and it will get better by itself, just because pretty soon people who have grown up playing video games will inherit those positions.
But you still have to, I still think you have to defend games. You know, it's not as simple as just waiting it out, because it only takes one person. Look at Leland Yee. If he happens to get that legislation passed, you know, that's, San Francisco is a pretty big area, and if he can't do it federally, he may do it locally, which clearly these people vote him in every election time, so he'll probably get the support to do it locally if he ever decides to do it that way. And that's kind of how it starts. So I do think that if you know that your state senators or local representatives have ever just, you know, made an ignorant comment about gaming, it doesn't hurt to write them a nice, polite letter letting them know who you are, what you do, and that you enjoy video games, and you don't feel that the everyday gamer, 99% of them, are any threat to anybody simply because they play video games.
And here's the thing, though. Like, I would love to say that, you know, everybody our generation is enlightened and knows that that video games aren't evil, but that's not true. Like, there's plenty of people our age that hate video games for just that reason. I could think of quite a few that I've interacted with.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. We have to still... I think it'll get better, but it's not ever going to be over.
No.
You know, I disagree. I think it will one day just be over. I mean, that's how it was when, you know, film was invented. People said it was evil. And that's how it was when photography was invented, and people said it was evil. You know, I think it just takes time for media to become accepted into wider society, and I think we're seeing that more and more as time goes on. We have video game nightclubs now, for example. Yeah. I mean, as terrible as a movie that Noobs probably is, the fact that it bills itself as a movie by gamers for gamers, which is obviously a lie, but the fact that it bills itself as that means that there's more acceptance. I don't know. I shouldn't have used Noobs as an example.
I'm doing this
along those lines, though. I know it's kind of silly to think this way, but I'm a big supporter of trying to make video games into movies. I think that, and it might sound weird, but I think if video games could be adapted into film well and respectable, that will bring a lot more respect from wider audiences to the medium. And I would just say, like, look at comic books and what great comic book movies have done for that medium in the last decade.
That's a great point. I had never thought of that.
But I also think that, I don't think anybody's going to ever go after the entirety of the video game industry, but I really do think that there will be some heavy legislation in the next 5 years trying to be passed. That doesn't mean it will. Regarding violent video games. And that's where it gets tricky, because who gets to determine that? You know, and if we're not careful, I know I've been sounding all crazy lately, but you gotta be looking at these things. You know, Australia, they used to be a lot like us, or us like them, if you want to look at it that way. Now everything is so restricted there, including the video games. I mean, how many games aren't even allowed to come there that are rated T in America? And if they do come there, they have to edit the crap out of them and just make them a completely different game. New York City banned a soda, for heaven's sake. It can happen. So I think that we do need to stay on top of it.
But to your point, Daniel, I agree with you. I think if we could get the Lord of the Rings of video games made. I don't know what that would be. Maybe it would be Halo. Maybe a Legend of
Zelda
movie.
Yeah.
Maybe Metroid. I mean, really, whatever it is, if it could be done well, which I don't think no video game movie, to my mind, that I can think of at the moment that's been made has ever been really that great, was outside of documentaries.
Right.
Like the King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters, that's a fan.
Yeah, that's awesome, but it's not.
It's not massive pop culture creating spectacle film, you know. It's, we need something like that, I think, in order to get what you're suggesting to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we haven't seen it yet, but for some reason they keep putting UA Ball in charge of video game movies.
Well, what was the last video game movie he made, though? I think that's kind of not been a very good defense the last several years.
That's true. Yeah, I think it has to do with the general newness of video games with Hollywood. Is a lot of video game companies just haven't been respecting the IPs that they have, and I think that it looks like that's going to change. Like, I think Ubisoft is really pushing to make some good movies. Hopefully, I don't know. Could be wrong, but
I think as games evolve into more games like The Walking Dead, even though I know that's already a television show, obviously, I think that it's easier to make good movies off of things like that. But I think that making a really good movie based off of a game is extremely hard to do while not angering the gamers. And everybody knows when you anger gamers, it's not pretty. And I think that people are, honestly, the people that make movies, I think they are somewhat aware of that. So they try to balance this crazy level between not making the gamers mad, but being appealing to mature adults that are, and kids, but, you know, people that are gamers and non-gamers alike. And I just think it's a recipe for disaster. It's hard to get a big-name star. It's hard to get good actors to sign on for those things. I think it's very challenging, but I think it can be done. And I think it would make a huge difference, as you both have stated.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah.
It was.
And just to kind of bring it full circle, back to just the abomination that is noobs, I think things like that are also what's keeping people who enjoy video games kind of as a side group, not accepted by society, because I think that the stereotypes depicted in that movie are not all too different from what people who don't play video games think of people who do play video games.
Right. No, I agree. You tell somebody that you play video games, and it's just like, so you spend all your time in the basement and don't talk to anybody and have no social life? Like, no. Like, that's the perception of, well, I mean, maybe some people do. But that's the perception of gamers. And
I have a great story about a similar situation, sort of like what you just described. I was at a wedding reception over the summer. One of my friends got married. And at the reception, I was sitting next to these two girls, and I struck up a conversation with them. And, like, so what do you do? I was like, well, I write about video games. And they're like, oh, so you play video games? I'm like, yeah, I like video games. Oh, I don't like.
And then they just stopped wanting to talk to you. Really?
Pretty much. It was like they just said, "Well, I don't like those things."
Those things.
And,
wow.
Weren't really interested in talking to me after that. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Well, you don't need those girls.
No. Nope.
See, and so, I mean, stuff like that, and, like, I've said before, I don't know if I've said it on here, but the show Big Bang Theory, I can't stand that show, because it's basically just making fun of gamers and geeks and nerds the whole time. The only jokes are jokes aimed at the geeks, and it's like it's basically just trying to say, ha, look at them, they're cosplaying, or they're playing Dungeons and Dragons, aren't they stupid? Like, ugh, I hate it.
I haven't watched that show a whole lot, but I agree, I don't really like it, and for those pretty much same reasons.
And it's just kind of, it's dressed up in such a way where it's almost like it's trying to cater to geeks, but it's not. It's like, it's stupid, it's stupid humor for geeks. Like, it's just kind of insulting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's like a thing going around that, on the internet, that's like, real nerds watch Community. Something like that.
That's a good show.
Because that's a great show. And that show pays homage to nerds and geeks and outcasts.
I would add the IT Crowd to that list of good shows that
it's also a good show.
That use technology and tech and do make fun of it in a degree, but mostly from the outside looking in, from people that don't understand it, not the people doing it necessarily.
Right. Also, fun fact, Community, the last renewed season of Community so far, premieres on February 7th, so you should watch it.
What channel is that on? What station?
NBC.
Oh, I've never seen it.
It's really good. Watch it. Start at the beginning.
Yeah, I always start at the beginning if I am going to watch something.
I just love how every episode of that show is just so different.
Yeah.
Like, you have the spaghetti western episodes where they have paintball shootouts, and then you have an entire episode where they're digitally transported into a video game and it's all in 8-bit style.
Yep.
It's just crazy and good.
Is that the game where the viewers kind of get to pick the plot points? Game, I mean, show?
No, you're thinking of Defiance.
Okay.
That's an upcoming sci-fi series where people play the game Defiance, and then stuff that happens in the game world translates.
Right.
No, I'm thinking of the show, the Sims dude, Will Wright. Is that his name? He was working on it a couple years ago. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what ever happened with that.
I could have swore that was called Community, too, also.
Huh. I don't know. But anyway.
No, it was on the current channel. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. Anyway, speaking of watching good stuff, I finally made it to The Hobbit a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah? What'd you think?
I still think that Bomber at times completely reminds me of Chris Farley, and that's just still. I won't ever waver in that. I thought it was awesome. I really did.
Did you think it was too long, like certain other people?
Not when I first left, but after looking back, I do think that, yeah, it is a little bit too long. But it didn't feel too long while I was there. The only reason I think it's too long is because it's just, I don't know, I guess because it's a short book and it's going to be an 8-hour movie. So
I have a question. What would you have cut to make it shorter, and where would you have ended it?
Well, now that it's there, it's like I can answer the where would I have ended it part, but now that it's there, I don't really want anything cut. Because it is pretty faithful to the book. Very faithful, honestly. When I would have ended it, I was disappointed that there wasn't an actual conversation with the Eagle King or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
I thought that was bogus. And that tree hanging off the edge thing, I don't quite recall it working quite like that, but I could be wrong. And but where I would have, where did it end? Remind me.
It ended as they were getting to Mirkwood.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's probably a good place for it to end, since it's going to be so long. And if you think about it, or if I think about it, I suppose going from Mirkwood all the way through the end in one more movie might be a little much. So maybe it'll work out being three movies.
You know, I think what's probably going to happen is that they're going to... Second movie is going to end with them fighting the dragon.
That's what I said, too.
And then the third movie would be
five
armies.
It'll end with them fighting the dragon. Well, we don't want to spoil anything for those that don't know. But yeah, that's exactly what I thought, too.
Actually, Peter Jackson's basically said that. I was in an interview where he said, he's like, a lot of people think that the movie... that the book ends after they fight Smaug, which isn't where it ends. He's like, there's a whole other big battle after that. So he kind of hinted so subtly that that's what's going to be in the third movie.
And you know, I recently read an article that discussed how different adapting The Hobbit to a full-length motion picture is compared to Lord of the Rings. Because with Lord of the Rings, you already had each section divided into three parts. You had the one story divided into three neat parts.
Yeah, Tolkien considers it one novel in three
parts. Right.
Not a
and
story, right.
With The Hobbit, that's not the case. It has a totally weird structure. Like, it's not a tip, like you said, people think that it ends with fighting the dragon, because that's how a traditional, you know, hero's journey narrative would end, you know, with the big climactic battle. Well, and then, at the end of The Hobbit, I mean, this might be going into spoiler territory, but it's a book that's, you know, 70, yeah. 80 years old.
I was going to say, really, at this point, if you haven't read it, then...
There's the battle with the dragon, who's just killed by some guy that isn't really built up very much in the book. And then there's the whole giant chunk of the book after that, dealing with the aftermath of killing the dragon. And adapting that story into one or two movies would be really difficult to do. So, you know, I kind of understand why they'd make it three movies.
Well, I would say that you're both right and you're both wrong. So, good job. Daniel, okay. Do you still feel that the first movie was too long?
Yes.
Okay.
I respect your own wrong opinion.
I do, and I can say what I would cut out. I would cut out the big, giant rock fight scene.
Yeah, no.
But that was so cool.
Is that how that happened in the book? I don't quite remember it like that.
There's a reason it was only, like, two sentences in the book.
In the book, it was a sentence.
Yeah.
And then they get into the thing. But, I mean, that's one of the things of adapting a piece of literature to the movie screen. Things that take a sentence to say in a book, you know, are a much bigger deal if you're actually showing it happen.
You okay. Know? I would have shortened their time in Rivendell. There was a little bit too much of that and a little bit too much of the dude of the what's Radagast.
Oh, I'm gonna, no way. Radagast is awesome.
There was too much Radagast.
I liked Radagast.
Yeah,
I liked him too, but I liked him alright, but there was too much of him. And I would have shortened the beginning where they're all standing around having the dinner and the party and stuff. I would have just shortened little parts of that. I would have just taken certain parts of that out.
But it's all really important to establish that he's, you know, he has a home, and they don't, you know?
Yeah.
And to establish that he's a homebody and kind of give him that arc of becoming a more than a hero, or more than a homebody and becoming a hero.
And you have to drive...
Yeah, I get that.
The hobbits don't go on adventures. It's not what they do, so... I suppose some of that could have been shortened, but I think that was pretty good.
Here, I will say this. I saw a second time recently and liked it a lot more. So I definitely enjoyed it more my second time through.
Well, that's all we can ask of you, Daniel.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I love the contrast from The Hobbit to The Lord of the Rings, where it's just, you know, goofy in so many ways. And you know, I really like that.
Yeah, has a much different feel.
Not that I does. Like the, you know, the, I don't even know the word I'm looking for, the feel of Lord of the Rings movies, but this is just, it's a cool contrast.
Yeah.
The atmosphere. That's the word I'm thinking.
Oh. There you go.
We've kind of wandered off track, haven't we?
We sure have.
So.
Let's do our shout-outs.
I think that's an excellent idea, Daniel, and for having that great idea, you get to go first.
All right. I will. Sounds good. So my jacked up Indian Mojo Show shout out. Wow, no help at all on that.
I was. It was just at the exact same time as you.
Yeah, me too.
Jack goes to, I did it.
Yeah. All right, goes to John Jones, member, kind of new. I don't really know him that well, so he put up an interview with catching up with cosplay icon and gamer girl extraordinaire Rachel Moore. And he interviewed Rachel Moore, who has a YouTube show that's extremely popular because she's kind of good looking. And she talks about video games.
She's really
a lot.
Good looking.
And she's also an avid cosplayer.
She's a Mormon.
She's an avid cosplayer, and it's a really extensive interview. Really goes into a lot of stuff, and it was good. So go check that out if you haven't.
And I believe there's another one of those with the same gal coming pretty soon. So good job, John Jones.
Yeah, she gave some good answers. She's a smart lady.
She is a smart lady. You don't get to be that good looking and famous without being smart. Oh, wait. Yeah, people do that all the time. But that didn't happen.
Not in this case.
Not in this case.
All right. Jack, you want to go next or you want me to go next?
I'll go next.
You go next.
This week's Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show shout out.
Okay, I'm 2 for 2.
Oh, yeah, Bim. Help them. Sure.
You go back and do the editing. Listen closely. We just happened to be exactly at the same time, Daniel.
Yeah, me too. I was just matching your pitch perfectly. My shout out goes to Let Me Get to a Checkpoint for his or her blog, What's in a Picture? A Man. And basically, it's Let Me Get to a Checkpoint. He, she put together a little study and took the box art of video games from the last year or so and sorted them out into different categories, the categories being inanimate objects, men, women, group, non-human, and then, like, ensemble, so, like, a group of people. Okay. And then just kind of crunched the numbers and put out that information, and it's actually kind of interesting. 52 out of the 100 games featured men on the covers, whereas only 7 featured women. And while I don't think box art is necessarily always indicative of the game, I still think that says something about the state of the industry.
So let me ask this. Out of those 52 men, if you took the surface area of all the skin that was showing, would there be more or less than the 7 women?
Actually, it looks like quite a bit more.
Oh, but it should be. It's 5-7 times as much.
Yeah. But, I mean, in general, like, The men are wearing less clothes than the women.
Oh, okay.
Actually, which is kind of
weird. On!
Video games.
Well, that's interesting.
All right. Yeah, that is interesting.
Excellent shout out, Jack. Good job. My.
What about you?
Well, I'll tell you. My Jack.
What about yours?
We're not supposed to get off sync until the shout out part. Jacked Up episode 57 Indian Mojo Show shout out.
See if I help you. I'm not helping.
I don't care. Help me anymore, Daniel. Good.
I don't care.
Quasi Conundrum, who I've often shouted out, I think, because I think he's a really good writer. But his blog, Confessions of a Softcore Gamer, is one that caught my attention, and I'd never realized he was such a wuss before, so I'm glad to learn that about him. No, I'm just joking. He plays through many games on easy, and it's just fun for him, and that's the way he likes to do it. So you know what? I say more power to you. I have a couple of good buddies that do that. I don't, just because I don't know why. It's because I'm stupid. But he has played like Demon's Souls, so it's not like he can't play a hard game. He just prefers to enjoy them and go through them casually. And I know there's been many of blogs written by it like that, but I think he really kind of nailed that concept and the mentality behind it really well. So I'd check it out.
I'm with him. I prefer to play on normal or easy.
I always go for normal or hard.
Yeah.
Because I'm a man.
I don't know. I think what it is I don't like... Like, if I replay an area, I don't know, probably, like, 5 times before getting it right, I just... Like, I feel like I'm wasting my life doing that. So I will bump it down to easy if I get to that point.
But that turns off so many of the trophies.
I don't care.
Like, 2 of them.
Daniel, what about the trophies?
Speaking of trophies, how many times do I have to play Journey to get the platinum?
It's not times that you play it. You really should look at the trophy list. Because there's some pretty devious ones in there.
The difference between me and a trophy call girl is that I don't do those things. I play the game the way it's supposed to be the first time through.
Right, then you're going to have to play the game many, many times before you get the platinum.
So be it. That's fine.
All right. I'm talking a couple dozen.
I might make
an
exception.
Yeah, you might want to.
Or I just won't get the platinum, which I can live with. That's not the end of the world.
All right.
But I do want the white scarf. Is that going to take a couple dozen times?
No, that shouldn't. If you, no, it shouldn't. You just have to explore. Just really explore. And just, when you get to the next skiing moment, the skiing thing, just know I'm just going to help you with this one thing.
I'm not cheating.
When you're skiing down the hill, there's 2 different times where you're skiing down a hill. And on each one of those times, there's 1 scarf piece that you find. And you're going to have to get both of those. You're going to have to get all of them in the game to get your white scarf.
Gotcha.
And so you only have the 1 chance when you're skiing down the hill. Because
you can't go back in the game.
You can't go back up the hill to get it. Yeah. So...
Good to know.
Yep.
It'll be like playing Tiny Wings.
Right. Yes, kind of.
I made it really far in that game before I got sick of it.
It's a good game.
I made it to... How many levels are on the 7th level? 5? I made it almost through the 7th level. It's not easy.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I think, I don't know what I think. Sorry.
I think that we should wrap this up.
I think that's great.
I think that's a good idea.
It's a sign we should be done.
Yes. I agree.
Oh, I did buy the Jonathan Coltrane. Coltrane?
Coltrane.
Coltrane, thank you. Glee song. I can't believe I said that. Jonathan Coltrane, Baby Got Back song.
did you hear that part of our last episode?
I didn't make it that far. I was going to suggest that we use it for this episode, and then I saw that it was used for the last episode, so...
But you heard about how Glee stole that song, basically.
Yep. And I read his blog about how he hopes maybe Glee will donate some of the money they earn from it to charity or whatever.
I just love that they say that, you know, he should be happy for getting exposure when... They didn't give him any credit.
Yeah.
So how can he get exposure?
Right. Yeah. Glee's stupid. But yeah, go support Jonathan Coulton and other good musicians.
What is it? And, cents? A buck? Do it.
Do it.
Go do it. And charge it to somebody else's card. Charge it to Jeremy's card.
Yeah.
He still has $6 left.
My Vita. I guess I can't call it my Vita anymore.
That's so sad.
It is sad.
All right. That was episode 57 of the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show, now official with an official logo. So, yeah, we're official.
That was long enough.
I did. All right.
And you passed your training period, Jack, so.
True.
It's almost the year.
Yeah. I'm Daniel Jones with... Hey, guys, stop. I'm trying to close out the damn show. I'm Daniel Jones with Jeremy Brown and Jack Gardner. Keeping it classy, and you stay classy as well, Game Informer.
Thank you for stopping by.
I love Joko.